I'm starting the recording. We are on
76A1
of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, Halacha Hey. Okay. Hamalaket asafim lachem atriyaveish hamatok. So we're going to talk about two different cases here in the beginning of the Mishnah. We're talking, it's two parallel cases. One is going to be talking about grass. One's talking about leaves of reeds and grapevines, but the idea is the same. They're just parallel cases. One who collects moist grass, and you can consume them ad shiyaveish hamatok, until the ground dries up. Matok is the ground is referred to as matok because it sweetens the fruit. And so it's referred to as. Now this happens to be that he's collecting it for himself. Normally it's animal feed, but possibly, but this is actually for a person to eat. He talks about that. If you want to take a look, I'm jumping ahead. In footnote 5, in the brackets, it says leaves of reeds and grapevines are not normally used as food. Unless a person intends this use while gathering them, they're not regarded as food. So, he's not talking about the grass, but, let's see, is he speaking about the grass?
The reason he is that this makes the halachas a little lighter because you're creating it.
Yeah. Well,
it's granted for human use?
I don't know. I don't know if it makes a difference. It doesn't really make a difference.
But on that note, so it says that you have to do beer. Why isn't he masking
it? No. So first we talk about how long you can eat it or feed it to your animal, as the case may be. Before beer has come, that's 100% mutter, so you don't have to worry about beer. You can't do beer in advance. Beer is something which can take place once it's kol ha'chayim and asada. So you have to decide.
So that never
happened. So it's ad shiyavash hamatok. This is how long you have. This is the measure. The measure is when the ground dries up. At that point, the moist grasses are no longer available in the field, and therefore the stuff that's in the house is subject to beer. That's what it says. And alternatively, you can sometimes not collect fresh grass, but you're actually collecting dry grass. Hamagave bayovesh. If you're gathering dry grass, then you can keep that until teret acha teret via shnia, until the second rain falls. Exactly when that is a subject to machlokes tanoim. And he brings the tanoim over here in footnote 3. Rav Meir holds it's the 7th day of Mar Cheshvan, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, Rabbi Yossi holds the 23rd of Mar Cheshvan. Okay, whatever it is. But what's going to happen is when there's that much rain, the grass that's on the ground will spoil and rot. And so therefore it's not considered that it's Isla Chaim. That's called Kal Chaim and Asada.
The day what?
The day what? The day what? Well, I'm sorry, what did you say?
The flood.
Oh, the flood, yeah, yeah.
But these are key, in the Sechus Kindness, these are key dates for when you expect the rain and when you're having
right, rain. Right, absolutely. You're expecting rain in these days, that's correct. So what you have here is the first one is you're collecting fresh grass, the second one is dry grass. Now you can have the same thing now. Alekonim alekfonim, you're collecting the reeds and the leaves of grapevines. This is freshly grapevine leaves. So then you could do until they fall off from their branches, meaning other similar type of leaves that are on the branches. When they start to fall down, then you know that's already called kol chayim asan, because there's no more fresh leaves available for the animals. And hamagabe v'yavesh, if you're gathering the dried ones, achateir devir shniya, the same idea. He doesn't buy this whole business. The Tanakhama is obviously treating the dry grass and the fresh grass, the dry leaves and the fresh leaves, as two separate minim. Rabbi Akiva does not agree with that. He feels they're all the same min. And since they're all the same min, they all have the, they're all guided by the same deadline of Revi Yashir. Okay?
They're all grass?
It's grass is grass. Leaves are leaves. Don't make it like it. You got separate stuff here. Ki Yaitse Bai, and we have similar examples where we talk about rainfall in Hilchas Chayshem Mishpat. Hamaskei Bayis L'Chaveiro Yad HaGeshomim. If I rent you my house up until the Geshomim, that's I guess what's that was our shtar said that, or our verbal agreement said that, HaGeshomim, how long is that? How long do you get to rent my house? Then it's Shetayret Revi Yashir, the same thing. Geshomim is a Lashon Rabim. So you have the Revi Rishona would be the first Geshem. The second Geshem would Geshomim would be the Shniyah. That's the idea behind it. Same thing is true. If I make a netter and I say I'm not going to have enough from you until the Geshomim, same idea. Same rule. Now, we're going back to Shvius subject now, right? That was just like a side diversion in case you wanted to have some other halachas, right? So now this is a shayla, exactly what we're talking about. It could be we're talking about lakas shechem peya. It could be that we're talking about shviyas. There's two different mefarshim over here in terms of how to explain it. The rash, marafolda, all are learning that it's lakas shechem peya. The Rambam apparently he's learning that it is Shvius. Okay, so let's first learn Parshat Pshat like the other Mepharshim. What?
What's coming?
What's coming?
Until now?
The Pardesos. How long can the Anim go into the orchards, right? So, what do you mean, how long can they go? The question, if it's Shvius, the question doesn't seem to make any sense. What do you mean, how long can you go? First of all, what are you talking about, Aniyim?
You can go until the end of the year.
You can go until there's no more food left.
Or even
at the end of the year, if there's still Paris left on those trees from Shvius, you can go into them on the eighth year also.
When it comes to Shvius, we differentiate poor, not poor.
Yeah, what's going on over here? What's poor, not poor? Where is this coming from? So that's why these other Mepharshim decided, we're not talking about Shvius. We're talking about Lechet Shechem Peah, and therefore, what's the issue? The issue is because, you can come into my land as long as, you're not damaging the ground, but once you start damaging the ground, you can't come into my land. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't get your Lechet Shechem Peah. If there's Shechem Lechet in my backyard, I got to give that to you. That's owned by the Aniyim. But I get to bring it out to the front door of the field, right? You can't walk into my field and trample around. That's the whole thing over here. Because if it's Lechet Shechem Peah, how are you putting a limit on it? What do you mean, how long? Yeah, it's mine. You can't hold me back from taking my stuff, right?
Yeah, so why can't he go get
it? Because
it's Shnia, Revia, that's what it's saying.
It's too wet.
Anshatera Revia Shnia, it becomes too wet and you'll ruin my fields, okay? Or you're going to start tripping and suing me. That's a more modern day upshot, right? Okay.
It fits with the Maskir Bayit and Mudar Na. I don't know why the Mepharshim have to go into Shviz and all this kind of stuff. It just fits.
I like it. Yeah. Do you want to hear the Rambam side of things, or are you not interested? So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says we're still talking about Shvius. Now, remember, if we're talking about before beer, so it's going to be a little short. Let's see if we can see where it says over here.
So what does beer have to do with Lechet Shechem Peah?
No, we didn't say anything about beer yet. Hold on a second.
Yeah, we did.
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
No, this line, we're not talking about.
I'm talking about the Reisha and Mishnah.
We're not at the Reisha now. What are you asking? Are you asking on this? Hadmosai Aniyim?
No.
What are you asking on now? Yeah, so we're trying to decide, what is it called, Lechaim and Asada in the Reisha?
Yeah,
When is it finished? That there's no more, it's not available for the chayos. So that's when it dries out.
Yeah, what does that have to do with electric conveyor?
It doesn't. That has nothing to do with electric conveyor. This is a... This,
oh, you're saying only this
line? Only this line. This is the only line that has to do with electric conveyor. Everything till now we were learning shvius, okay? Except for the Darim part of it, you know, and the Maskevites. But besides that, everything was regular standard shvius beer issues, right? Now we're talking about this statement about So we have the Rambam's pshat. Let's just find the Rambam in the footnotes over here. Alternatively, to gather shvius produce during the eighth year. Now the Mishnah's use of the term poor would seem to support the other befarshim. So what does the poor have to do with Shvius? Saradvaz explains. Saradvaz always explains the Rambam.
Where are
you? I'm in footnote 10, second paragraph, in the middle of the paragraph. Radvaz explains. According to Rambam's, oh, by the way, there's nobody online here. I'm going to shut off the Zoom session. I don't like to keep the Zoom.
Maybe late?
No, they'll have to call me. No, not acceptable. Not acceptable. The Radvaz explains, according to Rambam's view, the poor is not meant literally. Rather, this is a very interesting yesod he puts forward over here. All people are considered to be poor with regard to shvius produce. So I think it's great. See, to me, the people that are standing online in their cars and going around the block waiting for a government handout from 7 Mile Market, without being political, you're acting like you're poor because you're acting like you can't afford food, right? So if you're going after free food, and I'm talking about shvius now, I'm not making a political statement.
You're talking about
kiddush. I'm talking about shvius. That's a different term. It's a whole different term. Yeah, that's called a chayim and asara. No, the Rambam is saying that everybody's considered poor because everyone's scampering for the free food, right? And that's the idea. I mean, or because it's shvius, there's no food available in the market because there's no farmers growing and harvesting. So we're all in a desperate situation. So we're all poor. Like the famous Mishnah that we had earlier in Peah. That if you're on the road, it doesn't matter, then you don't have food, that you don't matter, it doesn't matter whether you're poor or rich, you can take lekash and pen because you have halacha like a poor person at the time. This is the same kind of concept. That's the Radvaz Teretz. Yeah.
The Rabbani Shalom promises us if we keep Shemitah, the sixth year will be enough to feed 6, 7, and 8.
There you go.
So everybody's going to have food.
Yep. All right. Okay. Good. I have nothing to say. Okay. We've seen many instances where Chazal went out of their way, made takonas at borders and outside of borders because people were going to need food. It's clear that that is not a way in which you can plan for the tzibur. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not negating what it says in the pasuk, obviously, but you just can't rely on it necessarily for a myriad number of reasons that we're not going to go into now. Okay. Let's go weiter. So now, there's two terminologies here. One is nenin, and one is sarfin. You got to be careful here because there's two terms here which are being used. So the simple, before we get to the nenin part, let's just talk about the sarfin part. That's easy. Sarfin is you're burning it. So you're burning, you have some tevin in your house, and you're going to burn it to supposedly, I guess, heat up your oven, heat up your house, whatever it is you're going to do with it. Now, if it's shvius proper, obviously you can burn it. Because it says la'achla of la'hefsin. You can't be mafsid shvius.
In this case, it's
No. There's an assumption here. We're assuming it's at least roi l'maichel behema, right? So you can't take Michael Behema and burn it in your oven. You can't do that. So you have to give it to the animal. So the Gemara, the Mishnah is asking, there's got to be a point in time when you can burn it. Now, that point in time, the Yerushalmi's version, I want to just point out, there's two Gersolos over here. You notice that it says, Ade Masai, until when? And it says, Meye Masai, from when? These are very different Gersolos. Happens to be, these Gersolos are different based on the Bavli. The Bavli is Geras Ade Masai, until when can we burn it? Which means we're going to define a time now from which point you can no longer burn it. And Meye Masai, obviously, is much different. The Yerushalmi is going to be saying, from when can you burn it? Up until that time, you cannot burn it. The Bavli is very difficult, so we're going to just ignore the Bavli for now. From what time can you burn this stuff? So why would I be able to burn this stuff? So that's going to be the big Kiddush over here. So let's just learn this now for now. So it says, Mishateirad Raviyah Shnia, from the time the second rain comes. What happens after the second rain comes? All the tevin that's in the field is ruined. Okay, it's no good. It's not roi lachila for the chayla sonnet, right? So this is telling him.
Why?
It's soaked. It's ruined.
It's rotted.
What about after the first rain doesn't?
The first rain doesn't do it. The second rain really soaks. That's the soaker. The soaker is the second rain. That's what it says. Okay, you're a kasha from my side. I mean, you're right. You could say, oh, it gets moldy after the first rain. But apparently not.
Because it's a time that you can do beer, right?
It's not that big a number of days between the two. It's a week. Yeah, so whatever it is. Okay. So I just want to focus on the lumdus over here. This is an amazing thing here. Let's see here. Destruction of Shvius, but let's go to the second column. Destruction of Shvius produce is not always prohibited.
Second
paragraph, second column, 76a2. Destruction of Shvius produce is not always prohibited. Consider, the consumption of Shvius produce also brings about its destruction, right? Every time I eat it, it's destroyed, right?
Yeah.
But that's serving a human need. That's not an act of destruction. That's consumption. It's permitted. One might argue the burning of straw for fuel should also be permitted since it is burned to provide a human need. The answer is that in that case, that is to say the burning of the food does not come until after the straw is destroyed. This is a famous rule which we've said many times. Hana osai uvi uroi boim ka'achas. When I eat it, the destruction of the item and its hana come at the same time. That's mutter. But when I burn something in an oven, the bi'uroi is, the first 5 minutes, and the hana is 5 minutes later from the heat that's generated from the burnt fuel. That's what it says. The straw first heats up the oven. The heated oven then bakes the food. So the hana is coming at separate stages, and that's why it's osur.
But that's if you want to bake. For heating a room, for instance,
okay.
It happens immediately.
It could be akasha. Since the benefit does not derive directly from the act of burning, the burning is viewed as nothing more than preparation for a later benefit. The burning is not deemed an act of consumption, but of destruction. Therefore, it's prohibited. Okay? Now, there's a side note here. According to some, the prohibition to destroy Shvius straw applies only if the produce was originally harvested for use as animal feed. Where it was originally harvested for use as fuel, then there's no such prohibition. That's an important note to be aware of. We have amended on Amos. Okay, I don't want to read that. What does he talk about? The lumdus behind this. Just 1 second. Trying to find where it says it. I could tell you by heart, but we're going to see it inside. Oh, the Gemara is going to talk about it later. Okay, let's wait for the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain this in more detail later. Okay, that's why it's not here. But we have the information we need. I would just mention that I told you that it says two things. It says sarfin, and on mus and from meimasainen, and from when can you have benefit? He says benefit is over here. He says the Mishnah wonders at what point the prohibition is lifted. One is permitted to burn the produce or to otherwise derive benefit from its destruction, for example, by mixing it into plaster or stuffing it into a pillow. So that's considered the benefit. Okay, that's the benefit. So it's a little strange, but we'll see soon. So that's all. Okay, next. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Avin B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, less kind of like Ghanim. He says that even though the Mishnah mentions reeds, leaves of reeds, but he's not good. He says no, that's not correct. I like Gefonim. It's only leaves of grapevines. The reeds is a mistake. You should erase it from the Mishnah. I like Konim, ain't lahem beer. There's no beer for Konim because obviously they're extant in the fields even after the whole year round. So there's no Zman beer. And then there's a Tonikin, there's a Bryce that says the same thing. If you have Ale Konim, if you have Ale Oig, Ale Charuvin, if you have reeds, sumac, or carob, they don't ain't lahem beer, and they she'en aminon kala, because they don't get destroyed from the field, and therefore, in order for something to be beer, it has to be destroyed. So therefore, erase the word Ale Konim. That's a small note. Rabbi Zeira Boys, Rabbi Or wanted to say, Ale Geshem, if someone said, instead of Geshamim, we said Geshamim meant until Rabbi Yashnia. What if you only said Geshem, not Geshamim, Lashon Rabim? So then, hold on a second, let me see if someone's complaining. No. That's right.
Sounds like the first rain.
What? It sounds like the first rain. So it would be the first rain, right? Ad Sheyer Geshem Echad, then it's the first rainfall. Okay, next. Omer Bay, 76B. Tamon Taninon. Haimar Rei Olai Eitzim. Now here we're talking about a person's making a neder. He's going to bring to the Beis HaMikdash these pieces of wood. There were these blocks of wood that they, I don't know if you've ever seen the video. It's really worthwhile to see it, where they have this video of the Kohanim doing the Avodah on the Beis HaMikdash. It really brings it to life.
Can you send it out?
I can't. You have to pay for it.
Oh, you have to pay?
Yeah, it's not free. It's $18, I think.
But the link, I'll say the link.
I don't know if I can find it. I mean, if I find it, I'll send it. But anyway, so in it, you see the Kohanim. Now, there's a Gemara in Yuma, there's a Mishnah in Yuma that discusses this. And it says the following. It says that the carbon tamid was brought with a certain number of people. And it was 9 in the morning, 10 in the afternoon. Why did it change? Because the two Gizrei Eitzim in the morning of the Tumah Shel Shachar, those were carried by one Kohen. But there's a Gzeres HaKosov from which they learn that the two pieces of wood in the Tumah Shel Bein HaArbayim are carried by two people. So you had one Kohen carrying one Gezer of Eitz and another Kohen carrying the other Gezer of Eitz. It's very interesting that the Torah decided to make this distinction between Tumah Shel Shachar and Tumah Shel Bein HaArbayim. It's almost like the Torah's...
reason given?
I would say the Torah says, listen, it's the end of the day, the Kohanim are tired. We don't want to make them, carry heavy wood. One piece is enough. I made that up. I have no idea. Mamash, no clue. I barely know this rule. Just learned it yesterday. Okay, and the Gemara and Yuma I looked up today. So this is pretty fresh for me, okay? So you'll have to ask the Rambam what the reason is. Look it up in Mor Nebuchim. So it says over here, Haimar Re'elai Eitzim. A person makes a netter. He's going to bring Eitzim to the Beis HaMikdash. So Le'yivkos Mishnei Gzirin, he has to give two blocks of wood. He can't give less than two. Reb Yosi Reboin Amar Rebam Boi Amar Re'elai Eitz. What if he didn't say Eitzim, but he said Eitz in Lashon Yochid? So maybe Gezer Echad, he only has to bring one log.
So it's just another example of singular and plural.
It's just an example of singular and plural. That's the only reason it's being brought down here. Amar Eliezer, can we see this in the Mishnah? Shezer Karbim b'fnei atzmai? Is there a Karbim b'fnei atzmai? We see that each block of wood is a carbon by itself, because the Sinan, it quotes this Mishnah in Yuma, Shnayim b'yadam shnei gizrei yetzim. that you had two people in the Tumah Shel Bein HaArbayim carrying two separate pieces of wood. Obviously, if each Kohen is carrying a separate piece of wood, it's like two Karbonos, like two separate things. Right? Next. Tani, Rabbi Yossi Yonmer, called the Moshe who told the Ravia, Achete Ravia Shnia, Shnia told the Ravia, Achete Yagia Zman Asher Ravia. Here he's saying a very simple idea. There's different, let's take two different Nedarim, for example. Let's suppose I make a neder that I'm not going to have an offer for my rubbers until the first rain, right? Right? That'll be neder number one. Neder number two, I'm not going to have an offer from Shamsi until the first rain. So, the neder number one, it's obvious from the neder that I'm making that it's because the rubbers, I'm not going to have enough from it, but after it starts to rain, I'm going to need those rubbers, so I'm only want the netter to be chal up until the first rain. So that rain is not a zman of rain, it's when it actually rains. We don't care whether the scheduled rain is for December 1st, and once December 1st comes, I can wear my rubbers. No. If the first rain comes December 4th, that's when I can start to wear my rubbers, because that's obvious from the context when I meant. However, when I said I'm offering my hanor from Shamsi until the first rain, that's not totally in the physical rain. That's totally in a zman of rain. That's what he's saying. Look what he says. Look at the words now. Something that's contingent upon the actual arrival of rain, then it's achatei revia rishnia. That's until the second rain actually falls. She'inu toli b'raviya, but if it's not toli in rain, in the actual rain, then actually yigiyas mana shel raviya, then it's the time of the second rain. So that's basically the idea we're saying here.
Question?
Yeah.
Why doesn't he say this about the first rain? Why does he go to
the because we're saying Geshamim, because we've said Geshamim in all Hasnadarim refers to the Raviya Shaniya, so we're going to use the second rain as a context. But
this is a NATO case?
This is what?
This is a case.
Yeah. All the examples in the footnotes are net on Nedarim. Yeah. In fact, he quotes in the brackets, the Mishnah Nedarim cites a dispute as to whether a stipulation of until the rains refers to the time of the rainfall or the actual rain. Anyway. Again, using the Lashon, Ad HaGeshamim, if you use that Lashon, then it means Revi'a Shnia. Okay? Next. The Gemara now says what? Rav Shimon Gamliel says Tani. If you had 7 days consecutive rain, it starts to rain on Sunday, and it rained Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So it rained 7 days consecutive days without stopping. So yesh b'hem k'day revi'a shenia. That started with revi'a rishina, but when it ended, it was still the seventh day was shenia. In other words, even though you might say, "Oh, this is the beginning of a seven-day rainstorm, so it's not really Revi'a Shnia." No, he's saying it's not true. The seventh day is Revi'a Shnia, even though it is one consecutive rainstorm. That's the idea. Now the Gemara says, "Tali Reb Chiya, Shem Reb Gamliel, Lamanik Rishma Revi'a, Shi Ravas." Oh, no, before I do that, I want to just mention one other thing. So, again, this is important to know. In footnote 8, we're talking about, and it's going to continue on to 76b2, there are three views to the dates of the different periods of rain. According to our mayor, the first rainfall is the 3rd of Marech Heshvan, second is on 7th. How many days between those?
Four
days. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, starting date is what? The 7th and the 17th. How many days? 10 days, right? Rabbi Yossi holds 17th and the 23rd is the 1st and the 2nd. So how many days is that? That's 7. That's going to be 6, or if you include the first day, that's 7 days, right? 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So that's 7 days. 7 days, so when, what's his name? When Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if you have a 7-day rain, that it goes from Rishona to Revi'a Shnia, so the footnote points out he's going like Rabbi Yossi, obviously. Because it's only Rabbi Yossi who holds that there are 7 days. That's a small point. Why do we call Revi'a, which is Lashon Reveya, which is more of a sexual term, is she ravasses ha'aretz, as it says here, the rain penetrates the earth, and it's the same idea that it causes things to grow, or causes the seeds to produce fruit. Okay. Next, now we're going to discuss this very interesting. This is a very interesting rule, which is going to surprise you. It's a very it's not something which you would think of on your own.
Where are you?
I'm going back to the Gemara.
What about Chanina? Did you say that?
No. You're ahead of me. Rabbi Chananya. You're ahead of me.
Now.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. So it says, "Me'ema sa'inanu v'sarfen." The Mishnah said.
Where did it say that?
On 76b2, column 1, second paragraph. The Mishnah stated. You got that? You with me?
Yeah. Okay.
"Me'ema sa'inanu v'sarfen." From when may we derive benefit from from and burn, chop, then a whole straw of shvius when the second rain falls? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chananya." Mikivin shetisrach ma shebesodeh chuter ma shebebayis. Once that which is in the field rots, that which is in the house becomes permitted. Now, I want to do the Ridvaz here inside because he really explains it very nicely. So let's go ahead. You see the Ridvaz on the left margin?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm Rab Chanina. So Pirush Harash v'Harav v'Hartaisus Yontov. The Lam Mishum Dahavabir. It's not because it's Elorakmi Ravia Shniyova Elach Pokaktu Shose. It's because from the second rain it loses its Kedusha altogether. How does that work? Hatam, Kwasavatis Yontov. The Larina Kola Kaiman Asada Kolova Hemtha Shabbayas Eladavka Ihoisa of the Soda Hayaroi Lachol. Which means like this. The drasha that when it's available to the animals in the field, you can eat it in the house. But once it no longer is available to the animals in the field, you can no longer eat it in the house, is only a drasha where if the food that was in your house had been in the field, it would have been roi l'achila for the chayos. So if I have an apple, obviously this apple, even though there's no more apples on the apple trees outside, but if this apple would have been outside, the animals could have eaten this apple. So kol achayim and asada, you can no longer eat the apple, you have to do beer. In this case, we're talking about straw. Had the straw in my storage area been in the field, it would have gotten ruined right along with all the other straw that's in the field in the Revi'ah Shniya. That's the difference here. And so, Masha Enken Khan. Over here, even if it would have been in the field, it would have been ruined. That which is remaining in the house in a state, in a good state, obviously it's in a dry room with air conditioning and everything, right? And heat. So there we have a very big chiddush over here, that this is a different category. When something is no, had it been in the field, would have gotten ruined. He says, the kedushas shvius comes off of it, and the isra of la'achvul la'hefsid falls away, and now you can burn it. That's what we're saying over here. This is unbelievable. That's what. Let's look at Rabbi Chananya's statement again. Once that which is in the field rots, and we're talking about something which had what was in your house also rotted, had it been outside, then what's ever in the house is hutter, and you no longer have an isra of la'achol lo lahafsid, and you can burn it from that point forward. That's what it says over here. No? Chiddush gadol, no? Yeah. So, and then the Ranbaz ends off with a very important halacha. Umasha mikan, the Michael Behema also lanosod the Ma'ide Kuloi. That if you had Michael Behema, let's suppose it was before the Zman beer, right? If it was earlier in the year, right? It hadn't started to rain yet. I can't take my straw, even though it's Michael Behema, and burn it in my oven. Burn it in my oven because That's and it's a problem of la'achol
lahavsin.
And that's learned out of this Mishnah.
So when is that?
When is what?
What he's saying here.
So that's the straw before the rain comes. I can't take it and put it in my oven because that's la'achol lahavsin. So you see, there's a din on ma'achol behema that you can't be mafsid that either, even if it's la'hanos ha'adam. Okay. Tani Rav Hayshia, afilu la'achol shalashonim aser atche yisrach. Even after 3 years, it's aser to burn straw until you're certain that it has rotted. 11, he says over here, our Mishnah is dealing with ordinary fields. He's not disputing the Mishnah. But it becomes saturated with rainwater, and the resultant dampness soon causes the straw to decompose. Rav Hayshia's Raisa is discussing fields located in stony, mountainous places which do not absorb water well. Because they remain relatively dry even after the rains, the produce there does not quickly decompose. So therefore, unless you're certain that the straw has decomposed, you can't burn the straw in your house. So in other words, what he's saying is, right, that it's possible, it's possible that it might be good for 3 years, for years, right? It doesn't matter. As long as it's available in the field, it's not, the Zman Beer hasn't come, and what you had in your house would not have gotten ruined, and therefore you can't burn it in your oven. Tevin shel shvius. We're on 76b at the 3. Tevin shel shvius. If you have chopped straw of shvius, in shonos of a tit, you can't soak it in plaster because that causes it to be destroyed. Shroyim batit, but if you were over, here we're talking about an avayan. He violated the rule of shvius. Shvius says you cannot be mafsid it, and he went ahead and he violated the rule. So what's the rule? Batel, the straw is nullified. And who and it's permitted for use, who should give law as long as you need it into the plaster. So it says here, 13, right? Although placing the straw into plaster is prohibited, once it's done, you're permitted to make use of the plaster. The straw contains therein is also mutter, provided it's been kneaded and the two are roughly mixed together. The straw is nullified by the plaster. It loses its independent identity. It's transformed into a mere component of the plaster.
What is the man over?
I mean, he was over on La'achol Lahefsin. La'achol Lahefsin. The La'achol Lahefsin. You know, let him be Mafsin Shvius. So, if you're over La'achol Lahefsin, it's no knas over here.
That's what's bothering me.
You don't like that. You want him to be knas, right? Let's see. So in D, he says that the Rambam says that once it's placed into the plaster, it's considered to have been destroyed, so it's no longer subject to the Shvius restrictions. Right? In other words, the Lumdus is that it's destroyed. Right? That's the Lumdus. Okay. Tavan shel Shvius. Nisin oisoi bakar. With regard to chopped straw, you can't put it into a pillow. The sono bakar. This is just the same rule. It's just a parallel example. Before we're talking about plaster, now we're talking about putting it into a pillow. So you can't put it in a pillow. Batel is batel ishun yashin alav, as long as you slept on the pillow.
But here it's not destroyed. It's not mixed into the plaster.
Yeah, it actually does. By lying on the pillow, you demonstrate you view the straw not as food but as a utensil. You're basically making, I mean, in theory, you're right. It would be, if you take it out, it probably would still be Roy Lachila. But the idea is that by putting it there and laying on it, you're demonstrating that it's no longer used as food. It's
is it because you're stuffing, sleeping on top of it, therefore you can't eat it?
It's, no. That Shaila, you know, that's a big Shaila. If you put, this is a Shaila, Ravadya brings this question. If you put food, this is the biggest camp Shiloh that, you know, every camp has. Underneath, if you have your food underneath your bed, right, and you sleep overnight, so
stroller. So underneath the kids sleeping.
Yeah, right. So you know, say Ruach Ra.
Underneath the chair that in front of you that the person's sleeping.
All kinds of cases.
Right.
All high school, I slept in when I was whole ninth grade. Anyway, I had in Scranton, we had bunk beds, and I was on the bottom, and he was on the top, or vice versa. And so, you know, whoever's on the bottom, you know, they're getting all the rock raw. What can you do? But yeah, but, I mean, unless you hold like the Mekubalim. The Mekubalim are very machmir on this, and some Sfardim won't eat it. But the halacha is it's mutabachi. Yeah. Tavon shal shviyas. Ain ois and ois. Oh, I did that already. Tavon shal shviyas. Next one. Maoshi hei osu mishum svichin. Okay. So the question here is, is svichin apply to animal food just like it does to human food? Because after all, human food, it made sense that if we're not going to osser it, then the people are going to plant it, and they're going to say that it was svichin, so therefore they had to osser it. But here they don't have that big motivation. We mentioned motivation many times. This is animal food, so the motivation is not there to plant it because it's not as profitable. Okay, so Reb Levi Tzanbar Yerushalmi Rabba Bar Zavta Ushrei, he allowed it. He allowed it, Shrei, he allowed it. Amar Reb Zera said, V'anod lo smachas aloi, and I, who do not rely upon the rulings of Rabba Bar Zavta, ishta'ilas le'ilei deves karsana. I pose this question to those of the Academy of Karsana, V'amrin, and they said, now we're on Dafayin Zayin, they said, no'agin havino, wow, relate, that we, it was our custom to bring in shop straw from before the Shvi'is year. No'agin havino konshin tamim min aruvas shmitzah, because machasrin, when it runs out, ma'isim in shariah, then we bring in the shriya straw that was mixed in the plaster on the walls, that's permitted to use. Straw that had not been mixed into the plaster would be prohibited. So you see that the gzera of svichin was true even by Michael Behema as well. So what is he saying? What is he trying to say over here? So let's see. So the first one said, right, so it's a machlokes, right? So the first one said Rav Levi brought down from Rabba that it was mutter, right? That there is no svichim for Michael Behema. And Rav Zeira said no. He asked these people, and they said no, that was not their custom.
Doesn't say who the people were, does it?
We only know who he doesn't listen to, but you don't know who he does listen to.
It doesn't say who they were.
No.
Can't be who.
Yeah. Okay, there's a dissenting pshat over here that learns that he brings from our fold to learns that they were actually matarit. Okay, whatever. Amr b'yamil, masisa amr shuhu mutar. Brisa says it's mutar. The toni hatzaboyim v'hapatamin. The dyers and those who fatten animals, loichen musam nikol makom, they can purchase bran from any place. In a chushin, they don't have to be worried that it came from something which was not allowed. Meaning, they don't have to be worried, even though they're purchasing stuff from people who are kosher, I think. That's the idea. It's like straw in that its primary use is animal feed, and it's not planted for its own sake, but secondary product of a crop whose primary product, wheat, was already also on the Isser of Svifim. So if the decree of Svifim applied to animal food, the brand of Shvias would be prohibited, but the Brisa says the brand can be purchased without concern. So you see it's not subject to Svifim. All right, that's basically the idea. The Rabbi Yirmiyah is bringing a raya that it's mutter. So we're passing the kula on this. Next, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Savar Meimar, Afilo Min HaKosher, that you could even buy it from someone who's koshered on Shvias. So I'm like, Rabbi Yaisi, Lo Yirmiyah, Lo She'enu, Yodeim, Koshenim, Hu, En Koshenim. It's only a person that you're not sure, you don't know one way or the other. Adav Rabbi Yishu, Koshen, we had this many times. If you know for sure he's a Koshen, also you cannot buy it from him because you're causing him. You'll be supporting his Averis. Okay, the Gemara returns to the question of the animal feed. Amrab Shammai, Masiso Amrab Shuhu Aser. The Mishnah says that produce, which is Aser's animal feed, is Svichim. This in the Talmud, it says over there with Shvias, Mukhlei Akam Vehektish. With regard to fenugreek of Shvias, or fenugreek of Klaim, or fenugreek of the Kodesh, of Hektish, that you made holy, and Yesh Bazarova Ace Kadelit and Tam. Remember, fenugreek has this strange thing where the stalks of the fenugreek and the peri of the fenugreek both give off tam into the thing that they're soaked in. So people would soak fenugreek in wine. Okay, if there are sufficient seeds and stalks to impart flavor in the wine, right? So then it would be osur, right? So the stalks are food which are reserved for animals. It's not edible, those stalks. But nonetheless, the tom that's given off from those stalks creates an isser. So obviously, there's an isser svichim on the food, on the stalk itself. Otherwise, why would it be osur? Amar Rabbi Tifto Bekdusha Shvias. Amar Rabbana, I'm sorry. Rabbana says, no, there's no raya from over here. Okay, everybody got the raya? I want to make sure I got the raya. Okay, the raya is, it says that fenugreek, which is Michael, the stalks of the fenugreek, which is Michael Behemo, that if it's Shvias, right, it says there's three examples. It says Shvias, Clara, Karen, Behektosh. Let's just focus on the Shvias. So if you have Shvias, fenugreek stalks soaked in wine, and wine becomes usser because it got tom out of the Michael Behemo, and because it got the tom out of there, there's an eser svichim on the stalk, so it will ask for the wine. So you see that there's an eser svichim on Michael Behema. That's the simple. It's a simple riot. Now the Gemara says there's no riot. Why? Who says we're talking about? You know, we're assuming in the riot that we're talking about that we're talking about before this mana beer, and it would be an eser svichim. But let's suppose we change it. And we make it, we're talking about after the beer. That's what Gemara is going to say now. How do you know, Amar Mona, how do you know? Tiftor b'kdusha shvias b'beer. Maybe it's because of the beer sanctity it's forbidden. That is to say, we went past the beer deadline, and the tom from the fenugreek stalk absorbed into the wine, and now we're past that zman beer, and that's why the wine's osur b'achila, b'shtia. You need not be discussing the prohibition of svichin at all. The less shama mina komi, you wouldn't be able to bring any rye from over here, right? 13, he says that's, we'll just read it in a little bit. Rav Mana argues, in fact, the Mishnah does not mean to say that flavor imparted by the stalk makes the wine prohibited for consumption. Even the stalk itself would be mutter to eat because there's no issa svichim on the stalk itself. Rather, what we're talking about is something that's in the beer. The beer deadline arrived. And the wine which it imparted the flavor is subject to beer as well. According to this interpretation, the Mishnah is not discussing the prohibition of svichim. Thus, it cannot be adduced as a proof that animal feed is subject to svichim. This Gemara, you know, I don't want to get into too much lumdus over here, but L'chaira, we just had a Mishnah just the other day that clearly rejects this whole line of reasoning. Because this line of reasoning is assuming that tom all by itself is enough to answer something. Now, we just had a Mishnah. Remember? We had a case where we had three different vegetables that were pickling in a barrel. And we had one Tana Rabbi Elazar said that the Yobasa of the barrel be a Harishon. We had Rabbi Yeshua said Yobasa the Acheron. And here Rabbi Gamliel who said each one as its time comes. So, we said, what was the svar for Rabbi Yeshua? The svar for Rabbi Yeshua was that even though the zman beer has come for the item, but since there's tom from the dover that's mutter still, in the first one remains mutter b'achila because of that tom. Right?
Right.
So, that's right. Even let's go lahalacha. Let's go with Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says you just look at each one individually, and you ignore the tom altogether, right? That's his shita. Why does he ignore the tom altogether? So we said in the footnotes, we said because the tom is not subject to beer. Tom is like his mavur already because it's not nicker. You can't see the tom. The tom is just a flavor. And therefore, to suggest now that because the fenugreek is after, right? He's suggesting, Ramon is now making a very big finish. He's suggesting that the reason why the wine doesn't become usher is because we're talking about after beer, and the fenugreek gave some time into the wine, and since the Zman beer has come, so now the wine all becomes usher. What are you talking about? That's not the rule. If something is mutter ba'achila because the Zman beer for the wine has not arrived yet, so the wine remains mutter. We don't care about the fenugreek.
Maybe it holds like the other Tana.
So he must hold like the first Tana.
Yeah.
He holds like Rabbi Lazar. He's using this as a dichoy to what kind of raya you're bringing. Can't you say that we're not even talking about that? What are you talking about? We don't hold like that. So anyway, whatever. That's just my personal ha'or I have on the whole Gemara over here. Let's see. The Gemara asks, according to Rabbana, the Mishnah is saying that when the wine absorbs the flavor of the seeds and the stalks, it assumes their shmias sanctity and must be treated in accordance with the laws of shmias. The Gemara asks, Lo nimsoma aved ochle behema, when you drink the wine, wouldn't you be destroying animal feed? This is an unbelievable question. In other words, if I have food that's designated for animals, I can't eat that food. For me to eat food of an animal is lo'achal lo'hefsin. It's good animal food.
But if I can drink it, then it seems like it's animal food and human food.
Well, over here, we're not asking on the wine part. We're asking on the tom that came out of the fenugreek, which was animal food. How could you go if you're assuming that the tom that comes out of the fenugreek is going to create Isurei Shvias, then the tom of a Michael Behema you shouldn't be able to consume because it's law of Allah Hasan. That's the kasha of the Gemara.
I thought that animal food is mutter for humans.
If your intent is when you pick it, then it's you're going to be eating it.
Yeah, I'm afraid that you, if something is designated as animal food, humans cannot eat it. That's
the one. So that grass, the beginning of this.
If you're collecting it for animals, you cannot eat that grass. Yes. When a person drinks the wine, he prevents the flavor of the stalks from being used for its proper purpose, the feeding of animals. Thus, he's in effect wasting the shvias flavor. 14. Anything more over here? 14. This is the Gra's shot. Okay. The Gra answers tiftar ba'ochle behema la'adam. Animal feed that is used for the benefit of a person, which is permitted. There's no prohibition for a person who consume animal feed of shvias. This is not regarded as wasting the food. Okay, so it's the Gemara is waffling back and forth about this.
How strict
I don't know exactly what the Waskana is. This seems to be a question. Okay. Halacha 6. So a person, he has shvias food in his house, and now beer time comes. So now exactly what is the deadline for this? I'm going to tell you in a second. Mechalkon mezoin sholosh sudas l'cholecha v'yachad. You could give out three meals to each and every member of your household. I think you can even give it to your neighbors. And then you do the beer on whatever's left over. That's basically what it says here in this Mishnah. Now, how long do you have to do that? Do you have a lot of time? Do you have a week to do that? The Zman HaBir came. There was an announcement. Kol HaChayim and Asada, Monday morning.
Is that what happens?
There's an announcement. You know, it's on the internet. There's on Yeshiva World headline. Zman HaBir for grapes has arrived Monday morning. So now I have grapes in my kitchen. I got a lot of grapes. I want to save as much as I can, so I give out mazel shalosh sudas to my kids and to my neighbors and to my friends. Come one, come all. How long do I have to hand it out? So they say they have that day. You have that day until shkia.
But in a certain way, it's a game. You put it out. I'm being mafkaret. It's beer. And then I take it back to my house.
So why do you even why do you have to give this eitzah? Yeah. Why do you have to give the eitzah then of three meals, right?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Unless somebody shows up to your house.
I want you to see this. I want you to see in the second paragraph of 17, he says.
What is the first paragraph in 17?
Oh, I don't know the first paragraph.
Yeah.
What does it say?
It says exactly what Chaffee was saying.
Yeah, but the point, though, here, the main thing to get out of here, they get out of this, is that the three meals that I distribute are not subject to beer. In other words, the people can eat it, they can take their time, they can spread that three meals out over a month if they want. So, you know, that's like part of the process.
But if you get somebody's beer, you don't have to eat it that day.
Exactly, that's what I just said. It's not.
There's no difference to stuff that you shave off before you make beer, or you get right after beer. It's the same halacha.
You're right, 100%. 100%, not disagreeing with you. The Mishnah does not say how soon after the beer deadline the distribution to acquaintances must be completed. Hazainis suggests that all the distributions must end before sundown on the day of the beer. That which remains after sundown is subject to beer. He suggests further that the three-meal measure does not require the person to consume the entire amount within three meals, nor does it limit him to a particular size. It's just, you know, whatever you want. That's basically what he's saying. Mikas Shlomo, he brings in the bottom over here, he says, in his view, the Mishnah is merely dispensing useful advice. Just prior to the deadline, you should distribute three meals of Shvi'as produce to the acquaintances so as to obtain maximum use of the produce before the beer deadline. It's just an Eitz HaTayva. Whatever. I mean, if you hold like the Rambam that it means destruction, this would be a good raya, right? I mean, maybe this is where the Rambam got his idea from. Why are you doing this, like Shamsi said?
Why are you giving them out?
Why am I giving it out? Obviously, it must be because I'm going to destroy it, so I want to save as much as possible. So now we're having, like, the other side. This is the other side of the Rambam. Until now, every single raya was against the Rambam. This might be a raya for the Rambam, right? Okay, that's nice to have a raya for the Rambam. Next, V'aniyim oichlen achar biur. The aniyim eat after biur.
But since everybody's considered an ani like we had in the previous year, everybody can eat it.
Yeah, well.
They can all take it back, right? The owner can take it back, and all the crowd outside can take it with them, so everybody can eat it. And that's why the poor may eat it. It's not in the field, they can't get
so
it there.
So this is a right against the Rambam.
This is a right against the Rambam, right. What are they eating, right? The aniyim can eat the produce after the beer. Of Eloi Hashem, not the rich, the Rabbi Yehuda.
Or the rich.
The rich are the people who have plenty of food. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yaisi Aimer, Echranim, Echrashirim, Oichlanach Rabir. So this is going to be very difficult. How does the Rambam learn this Mishnah? So you know what they say?
He doesn't.
He changes the girsa to, instead of Oichlim, he says Osir to the eight. So. Right, aniyim can eat it, but not the ashirim. But he passes like Rabbi Yaisi, who says echad aniyim, echad ashirim, asurim ba'achila achar abir. So that's going to have to be his only way out. Otherwise, he's mamish contradicting the Mishnah. Okay, so much for that. Let's go on to Ayin Zamen Beis as we finish the last and the ending of today's.
If you take a look in the textual and interpretive paragraph, look at the last paragraph.
Which one? End of B.
Yeah.
Rama proposes the poor and rich in the context of our mission does not refer to degrees of wealth. Rich are the owners of the Shri's produce who abandon in fulfillment of the beer requirement, whereas poor refers to everyone else.
What's an erstwhile?
Erstwhile. Yeah. Poor refers to everyone else. So Yehuda is concerned that the previous owner, the rich, knowing that the produce will return to his possession in any case, may neglect to perform beer properly. He therefore rules the owner may not require the produce. He does not share the concern. Okay, so in other words, The shaila is whether can you reacquire it afterwards or not. So he holds a shira, meaning the owner cannot reacquire. All right, very good. The first time we're seeing such a thing. Yeah. We don't pass it that way. Okay. Mishah Yilo Peres Shrius, we're on 77b. A person has Shrius produce. Shenof lo b'Yerusha. He inherited it.
During that year.
Or they gave him a gift. Rabbi Yazar Aymer, now there's going to be, and the Gemara is going to have two ways of learning the Mishnah. We haven't learned it yet, but I read ahead to get an idea because I had no clue what was going on in this Mishnah. This is Machlokes Rosh Lakish and Rabbi Yerkin, what we're talking about. Be aware that it might mean we're talking about Shvius, which is Mutar Ba'Achila, or we might be talking about Shvius, which is Asur Ba'Achila, that you're inheriting it after the Zman Habir, and the person that gave it to you did not fulfill his obligation of beer the way he was supposed to.
Do you have to fulfill the
So beer? Are there any Isturim regarding this food?
Or is it too late?
Well, let's see what it says over here. So it says, Rav Liazar Aymer, Yinosnu Liachlayim. You give it to those who will eat it, meaning you can go ahead. What it means is you can eat it. It's Mutar Ba'Achila. That's a funny lashon. But we'll see the Gemara. We're going to talk about the Chachamim Oymim Ein Chayte Nisker. No, we don't want the person to profit. What does it mean? What does it mean? Who's the Chote? Let's use the case. Yeah, the original owner is the Chote because he didn't do beer when he was supposed to. But what's his schar? What's the schar he's going to get? The schar he's going to get is because that you're going to feel. You're going to feel good, right? You're going to feel a tavas hanah towards me because I gave you some nice food. If we're going to allow you to eat it, and we're not going to penalize anyone here, I get a return on my avera.
Which is really strange, is because in the Yerusha case, the guy's dead.
Yeah. The Yerusha case is going to be a little difficult.
While you're alive.
It's
going to
be a little
really
sticky.
You have it in your will. They haven't probated the will yet.
Giving stuff away while
you're still alive.
Very good. It's not called Yerusha. Okay. Until it's
probated, you're dead.
Yeah, but what is the profit? I guess you feel a hakasa tov to the dead person as well, right? Look,
but he doesn't profit from it. He's dead.
Well, if I give something to you, you'll feel hakasa tov to my offspring. Okay, that's good. Ali Makhlo Aklayim. What did the Chacham say? What should you do? You should sell it. That is to say, the people that are going to get it.
I thought it's lost on the one with Chor.
No, but you have to pay for the food that you're being given in order so that I won't feel any hakasa tov to you because. Grace of Tiber, you did me. I have to pay for this gift. You have to pay for a gift? Yeah, it's like when I bring in bagels to celebrate my birthday, and I say everybody paid for the bagel. And the precious money should be distributed among all the people, meaning you should not, obviously the guy who grew it is not going to be able to keep the money, because that defeats the whole purpose. Right. Ha'echel, I'm talking about the matana, yeah. Ha'echel me'isas shvius actual horma chalasa. So I go ahead and I've got wheat and I grind into flour. It was from shvius here. The flour obviously has kedushas shmita, and I go ahead and I make a nice challah out of it. If I eat from that isa before I was mafresh challah, it's mizvidei shemayim. And that holds true for Shvius as well. Why would I think otherwise? Very simple.
You can't destroy it.
Okay, yeah, so what?
You're burning the challah.
Oh, no.
Oh, because you give it to the Kohen.
Give it to Kohen. Let's suppose it's Milan that you wouldn't have to burn it. But, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. There are some people who learn that way. They learn because if it becomes tummy, you will have to burn it. So therefore, maybe it wouldn't apply to it. But the other pshat is, which is I think an easier pshat, is because Trumas and Maisus are not chal during the Shemitah year, and since Chala and Truma are very often equated, Trumas Yadcha and Chala is called Truma as well, so maybe you would think that it's not subject to Chala. Kamashma on the Mishnah, that is subject to Chala. So it says, so what is Rabbi Yehuda's reason that only the poor can eat? So as it says in the Pasuk, it says, now if you look at the Pasuk, Shuto Shomikra, look at the Pasuk, right? Look at the, we have it on the side here. So how do you touch the word v'yisrom? It's going on the chayas v'yisrom. Whatever left over, that will be then the chayas hasada will eat, right? So in other words, ochlo avyoni amecha, the poor people will eat, and whatever they don't eat, I guess whatever they take from the field, whatever they whatever's left over, that the chayas will eat. That's the pashup shot. So what he's doing is what? He's saying only Avyonu, Ochle Avyonu Amecha, and that's it, nobody else. That's the way he learns it. But he, Rabbi Yaisi, who holds the Ashirim, can also eat because he dashens the word V'Yisram. Ochle Avyonu Amecha, V'Yisram, and other people as well, not just the poor people. Of course, that begs the question, what did the Pasuk have to say it for? Why did it say poor people and other people? Just say everybody can eat it. What do you have to say, you know, that way? So he asked that question on the bottom. And if you look at the Mishnah Rishona, right? It's in the second column, footnote 5, about 4 paragraphs down. Mishnah Rishona asks, why does the verse single out the poor and then state a superfluous verse to include the rich? It should just simply say, Achlo Amecha. Let everybody eat it. So by singling out the poor, the verse indicates that although the rich may partake after beer, they may not store it away for future use. They only can help themselves with what they need at the moment. Mashen King, the poor people have a different yachas to it. They can even store it. That's a chiddush for the Mishnah Rishona. Okay. Reb Shetani, Reb Shimon Oimer, Ashirin, if you're rich, they can eat from the storehouse after the beer. So he says like this. He brings in the footnote that there's a sefta that says that they used to collect the bezin used to collect shvias from everybody and put it in like a little storage area. And then they would go around and they would hand it out to the poor people. Every Friday, yeah, they would distribute food to each person according to the needs of his family. Reb Shimon holds, the rich are generally forbidden to eat shvias produce after beer, but they can eat from this communal storehouse.
They still have Ortzah Beis Din now, right, in Israel.
That's a whole different rule.
What's that?
That Ortzah Beis Din is a way of structuring the collection of the food in a way in which it will be mutter to pay for it later on. Because what you're doing is you're paying for the labor, not for the item. It's a whole different answer. My time, Reb Shimon. So what's Reb Shimon's reasoning? So it says, "Achlu avyonei amecha ad yisrom," until the remainder, meaning until the communal storehouses. Ad kan. That's what we're going to learn until tonight. And I appreciate everybody hanging in there. It's a lot of information. And it's almost 9:40. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I have only 8:40.